Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues, etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues, etc. congregational sponsor.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and...
If you are an Old Testament prophet, you sometimes just hear the Lord speak. The word of the Lord came to, you name the prophet. But sometimes, if you're a prophet like Ezekiel, you see things. God sends you visions, and I imagine they terrify, they confuse. And Ezekiel saw a lot of very strange and bizarre things. The Lord, of course, is sending a message. It's not as clear as a plain spoken word, but he is warning his people, in this case, in Ezekiel chapter 8, that punishment is coming and that their idolatry has reached an end. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the Lord leaving the temple in Ezekiel chapter 8, 10, and 36, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What does Ezekiel see in this vision described in Ezekiel chapter 8?
What he sees is the anger of the Lord against the people of Israel because they have turned into an abomination nation. In fact, that's what the Concordia Publishing House Enduring Faith entitles this. What it is they have gone after other idols and they are making mockery of God. Even in the temple, they are having flourished in the temple, creeping things, loathsome beasts. That reminds us of the Egyptian gods that were depicted as animals, birds, snakes, etc. And they had wall paintings and carvings. And then they had a container for incense, but they were not using the incense as believers used it, namely as prayers to the Lord, but as a way in which they would placate angry deities. So they had just turned everything upside down from creation on, and they were not following what God wanted them to do. And God appeared to them in the form of a hand, and it is in verse 3, for example, it talks about that he put out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem. And that would be the Holy Spirit, of course, that we're talking about there, that was leading Ezekiel to see the abominations which the nations were doing against God. And God was very angry with them. And so God was going to do two things. The first thing he was going to do is, and this happens today, when we sin against God, there are negative consequences. And so that's talking about in our own experience, we'll have negative consequences. The Sunday school material makes it very clear that the abominations going on at the day of Ezekiel kind of began with a deconstruction of the law. In other words, they didn't listen to the law of God and became very immoral, which is also happening today. And therefore, there are negative consequences. The other thing that God is going to be doing is he is going to be leaving the temple. No longer will the temple be his abode. He's going to go up on a mountain. And so there's kind of a three-step process by which God in his vision shows Ezekiel that he is going to be leaving the temple. And they are worshiping the sun, and they are really going against the holiness of God. The Sunday school material does a very good job in talking about what holy means. The word is kodesh in the Hebrew, and it means to be set apart. Well, these people were not setting God apart. They were joining him with false idols. The Greek word for holy is hagios, and that means sacred or dedicated to God. So that when, for example, we build a church, we dedicate it to the worship of the true God. And therefore, we would not permit false teachers to be preaching from the pulpit or false teachings. But that is what was happening in the temple. One of the visions was that 70 of the elders who were supposed to be leading the people properly turned their back on God. And that was really terrible. It would be like us going home at Christmas and turning our back on our parents, not recognizing them, not joining in the festivities with them, etc. And so Ezekiel has a powerful message here. Parts of it are really difficult to understand in the short period of time that we have, but it is clear that God is not happy with the people of Israel who have left the proper worship of God and gone ahead and done other things.
How had God's people fallen into such gross idolatry?
It came about because there was a specific God, for example, that they worshiped in the temple. And that was an interesting God. It was a God who died in like October and November, and then it was brought back to life in the springtime. And so if you wanted rain, you would pray to this God. And that was a God that they were following, or the Israelites were. And that was terrible. And so this was an example of just one of the many gods that became an abomination to God, because they were not only going against his word, but they were going against what God wanted them to do. And so we have a situation where in a vision, and this is chapter 10, it's divided into two parts. The first part is the earthly judgment done by God against those people who are an abomination to him. And the second part of the chapter describes his abandoning of the temple. You'll remember even in Jeremiah, and Jesus quotes that when he goes into the temple, they say, the temple? No, God will never leave his temple. So they were against Jeremiah, who was telling them that God could do that if they did not obey him. And they just didn't believe that at all. But God said, you have made my temple, what should have been a house of prayer, into a house of murderers, malefactors. He used the same word that we use for the thieves on the cross that were crucified with Jesus. And that's how God was looking at the people. And so I tell you, if God isn't a God of mercy and grace, then none of us would be going to heaven. And that's what another part of the Sunday school lesson is talking about.
Why does God find the people's idolatry so offensive?
Because he is a jealous God. In fact, in the vision, that's what Ezekiel saw, a figure of jealousy. And that jealousy was the people were jealous of their own gods. They didn't want to follow the true God because they learned this from Egypt and other places, that people had all kinds of gods to take care of their specific problems. And that's why Paul was so successful when he went to the Agora and he saw that they had an unknown God. And that unknown God have been constructed to take care of all the things that people needed that the other gods didn't provide. And Paul said, well, I'll tell you who that unknown God is. It is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And he had a wonderful opportunity with the unknown God there to be able to tell them what they were missing.
What does it mean that God's glory departed from the temple? How is that, you said, the wrath of God?
Yes. One thing that God says to believers is that when we pray to him, he always hears us. The word hear there means more than just audible sounds. It kind of means when, let's say I tell my son, now I'm going to go out for a while, don't go in the basement. And as soon as I leave, he goes in the basement. He's curious. I come home and I said, did you not hear me? What I mean by that, did you not understand what I was saying? And did you not, therefore, take into account what my meaning was? Well, God says he will no longer hear his people. And that is a horrible curse upon an individual that God can hear because he hears all things, but he will not hear in the sense of replying to the good of that person. When we're going through all the problems we have in the country right now, and we pray to God for help, it may be to help a person who's sick, or maybe they lost their job, or maybe they have trouble in the family. When it says that God hears us, it means he also responds to us in a way to help us. That was missing when God stopped hearing his people. It's the worst thing that could happen to a human being, that the true God no longer hears you in the sense of answering to your good. And that's because of the abominations that the people were doing in the area of idolatry, etc.
What promise does God make in Ezekiel 36 about restoring the people?
I believe that Ezekiel 36 is one of the best chapters in the entire Bible. In fact, we had the privilege of talking about it last Sunday for Pentecost. Now, Pentecost, when you think of it, that's when God baptized people, forgave their sins, and gave them the Holy Spirit. Well, what God says in Ezekiel 36, he is not talking about Judgment Day, that's the end of the world. He's talking about the people who are in Babylonian captivity. They feel like they are dead. They have no hope. And here's what he says in Ezekiel 36. This shows his grace and mercy. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. And remember, that's what happened. They were allowed to leave Babylon, return to Jerusalem in an attempt to rebuild the temple. But listen to verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. Now, if you remember, David had said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Listen to verse 26, Ezekiel 36. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, that's our sinful heart, and give you a heart of flesh, that's our believing heart. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Now, that promise is also found in Jeremiah, but it's also found in the book of Hebrews, where the writer of the Hebrews reminds the believers that that's the new covenant, that God will no longer remember our sins and he will forgive them and therefore we will be in a new land called the Holy Christian Church.
Why is it important that God said, it is not for your sake, my people Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name?
Yes. The people were saying, look at these so-called people of God. Look at all the troubles that they're having. So he has not been a very good God. He's not a strong God. And so Jesus says kind of the same thing when he talks to his disciples. He says, I know you're sad because I've told you I'm going away, but it is to your advantage that I go away, because I will send you the Holy Spirit, the other comforter. And that's why when we as pastors go to the hospital and we are to comfort the person about to have surgery, we don't give them a positive outlook on life just by saying, oh, things will work out. No, we quote the scriptures, and by saying the appropriate psalms for their illness or whatever their surgery is, they are comforted, they are gladdened, and they receive joy. And that's what is happening in Ezekiel. The people are being punished by God for their abominations, but they soon recognize those abominations and they turn back to God, and he returns them to Jerusalem, and they continue to worship him properly there, at least for a little time, because at the time of Jesus, they have again returned to their abominable practices, as we're experiencing in our country today. So it's a great lesson for the Sunday school kids to understand that what we're experiencing today is something that believers experienced throughout even the Old Testament. But God is a gracious and merciful God who will forgive our sins by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and bring us into the new land, which will be an eternity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
What forms does idolatry take today?
Idolatry is not just worshiping some kind of image. Idolatry is where you put your trust. So if you have in your mind really good looks, and then you have a car accident and it messes up your face, boy, you get really depressed. Or you may have idolatry because you own a wonderful house or a wonderful car. And boy, if people touch your car or they mess up your house, you get very angry with them. So you can always tell what people trust by their attitude towards when they lose something. If they take it knowing that God is still with them and things will work out, then that is usually a sign of trust properly in Jesus Christ. But if they do not have that kind of assurance and confidence, then they are committing a form of idolatry. And by the way, every sin we do is a form of idolatry, because we put ourselves first before God. And that's what makes us at times an abomination before Almighty God, but we're ready to repent of those sins and receive the gracious gift of the forgiveness of sins, where God will no longer hold us accountable for our abominations.
With about a minute here, Tom, what is the law and gospel of this Sunday school lesson?
Well, the law always accuses us. And the people in Ezekiel's day and many in our day don't think they need Jesus because they're self-righteous. They look at their lives, they can handle it themselves. And so this is a good example of self-righteousness, which leads to an abomination of wicked acts, wicked attitudes, wicked thoughts, and not true love towards the neighbor. The gospel, though, is the promise of God that Jesus will forgive those sins as faith is placed within us by the Holy Spirit, so that the division between us and the Father is broken down and heaven will be our home. A great law and gospel theme is the book of Ezekiel.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We'll post a link to Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll continue our Lutheran spirituality series, talking with Dr. Gene Edward Veith about Christology. We'll discuss 17th century Lutheran theologian Johann Gerhardt on usury with Dr. Ben Mays, and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in Christianity. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will help make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
St. Paul Lutheran School of Hamel, Illinois is the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're looking for a first and second grade teacher for the 2021-2022 school year. We pay 100% salary scale for the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Other benefits include full health care coverage, retirement and disability, and continuing education assistance. For more information, email jeff@issuesetc.org. Jeff@issuesetc.org.